Welcome to another episode of COVID Chronicles, a podcast by, for, and about people affiliated with Portland Mennonite Church in Portland, Oregon. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum, and my guest is Daryl Ness. Welcome, Daryl. I'm so happy to have you with me.
Thank you so much. We're happy to be here.
Well, we start at the beginning, and I'm pretty sure you were not born in Oregon. Can you tell me where you did start life?
I was born in San Francisco, actually. My mother was born in San Francisco before me, so I can honestly say I'm a second generation.
That was the next question. Is that a home area for one of your parents or your parents?
Both my parents were first generation American, and my mother was... Her family settled in San Francisco. My father was from Everett, Washington, and World War II took him to San Francisco, and there was no way he was going back to the farm after he saw San Francisco.
How many siblings do you have, and where do you fit in the family?
I have one brother, an older brother.
And as you were growing up, were you living right in San Francisco or in the suburbs, or what's the story there?
Well, we moved kind of progressively south over the years. I was born in San Francisco, but there wasn't a room for me in San Francisco, so we moved to Daly City, just on the other side of the border, just outside of San Francisco. And then later we progressed down to San Mateo, and then when I was in sixth grade, we moved to Los Angeles. So I kind of spent my wonder years, if you will, in LA.
And again, were you right in the city in Los Angeles?
I grew up in the San Fernando Valley in Encino, which is a part of Los Angeles. Los Angeles is a big place. So I grew up in the San Fernando Valley, which was kind of my home area.
What kind of work were your parents doing?
Well, my mother never worked out of the house after I was born. My father was a business person, salesman, and he went into business for himself right when we moved to L.A., so I was drafted into helping whatever needed to be done with his business.
And what kind of a business was that?
He was in the business of selling restaurant equipment, the food service equipment for restaurants and all kinds of institutions. Mainly my duty was trade shows and things like that, setting things up and tearing them back down again.
So as a California kid... Let's talk about junior high, high school, maybe those fun ages. What kinds of things were you doing for fun when you weren't in school and weren't working?
Well, I was in Boy Scouts. I really loved the Boy Scouts in junior high school. And then in high school, my friend group was based around the swim team. I was always on the swim team. And so that was a pretty tight group of guys and girls, actually.
And the area that you were living in, would that have been an area where there were a lot of kids about your age so that in the neighborhood you had a lot of friends or people you could hang out with?
Yeah, I mean, I lived in the suburbs technically, but yeah, I did not grow up on a farm, let's put it that way.
Did you have a bicycle?
Yes.
And were you just allowed to, say, have the run of the area in which you lived, or... Was that a time when parents were like, no, we'd rather not have you go there? What was it like to have a bicycle?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I haven't thought about that in years. I had a lot of freedom. I could go anywhere I wanted as long as I could get myself home again. And I would say I was probably 9 or 10 and just like taking off and going miles. I remember I rode my bike down to San Francisco Airport one day, which wasn't that far from where I lived at the time. But it felt like it was a long way from home, and it was pretty cool. But yeah, I didn't really have many boundaries on my where I went.
So in, let's say, high school, what kinds of subjects were you finding interesting, or which ones were challenging by that point in your educational life?
I guess I didn't enjoy school all that much. I enjoyed the social side of it more than the... I was good at math, and I had a writing class I liked a lot. The one I struggled with is German. That did not go well. But
so you said you were taking a writing class and you enjoyed that?
Yeah, it was a college prep class. Mr. Berkowitz. I will never forget Mr. Berkowitz.
So what kind of writing were you doing, or what kind were you enjoying at that point?
I feel awkward in this moment. I'm going to have to work around this answer because I don't have a good answer for it. I don't even remember what we were writing. I just remember that it was unusual for me.
Was church a part of your growing up years?
You know, actually, my parents were both raised by immigrants in really strict Lutheran households. And I guess like many people of their generation, they decided that they weren't going to do that to their kids. As a result, I had little to no exposure to church as a child. They took us to Sunday school for a year in a Presbyterian church, and my mom taught me the Lord's Prayer, and that was pretty much what they gave me from a religious training standpoint.
So when your parents, you said, took you to Sunday school, did they go to church then as well, or did they just take you to Sunday school?
You know, I think they occasionally went to church, but it was mainly like a sense of obligation that we got to do something for these kids. We can't just leave them out there. But they didn't try too hard or for too long.
And so as you got older, say into high school, did you have choices about whether or not you would go to church, or what was happening at that point?
In my junior high and high school years, I attended a Jewish temple a number of times because my Boy Scout troop was sponsored by the temple and all my friends were members. So I had a lot of exposure to that. I met a lot of people. I really enjoyed it. I can't say I absorbed much from the services, but it was the exposure to Judaism that I'm really grateful for. But right before my senior year in high school, my mother passed away, which was a big blow, certainly for me. And shortly after that, I started attending a Lutheran church, and I went through the confirmation process. So I'm confirmed, but I can't say I ever really created a bond. You know, I never felt like there was a community there for me at that church.
Had your mother been ill, or was this a sudden death?
She had cancer. She died in 73. She had cancer in 71. It went into remission, came back, and took her on Labor Day, 1973. Yeah.
Right as school was starting for that year.
Yeah. It was a difficult time.
Then was it just your father and you at home for that year, or what was that story?
Yeah, my brother was off in college, so it was my dad and I lived together for a year, after which, when I graduated, I left. I went to San Diego and enrolled at San Diego State.
So was it always understood from your perspective that after high school, you would go to college, that that was the next step?
Yeah, the expectation of my family was, first of all, you're out of here. And it wasn't even like you're not welcome here. It's just like, this is how life goes. But I always wanted to go to college. It was never really a question. I could say that for my 18th birthday, my dad gave me a set of luggage. And his admonition was from what his mother said to him when he left home, which was, write if you find work. It was loving, but it was firm, and we were on the same page.
Not subtle at all.
I'm not subtle in the least.
So why did you pick the school that you picked? You said in San Diego?
Yeah, I'm probably not for the right reasons, but I had some friends who were going to San Diego State, and glad I went down there.
At what point did you have an idea, or maybe before you even went, what you might want to study, a major in? When did that happen, and how?
I had always had an affinity to business. I had worked with my dad, and I think early on I felt like that was the path I wanted to take, was to be self-employed and own a business. So it kind of naturally evolved into getting a degree in business. I dabbled in engineering for one semester until I had a class that required the slide rule, and I could not master the slide rule. A year later, the calculator came out, and I would have been an engineer if I was a year younger.
How did you pay for college, or who paid for it?
My father paid for college. But I do recall San Diego State was $92 a semester.
So it was affordable, theoretically.
It was a different time.
So you went straight through 4 years?
Actually, I took a year off, after which I spent the following summer in Europe. I just went to Europe with a backpack and a rail pass by myself and spent 7 weeks. And then after that, I moved to Boston and I finished my education at Suffolk University in Boston. That's where I got my degree.
Tell me about this trip to Europe. Where did that idea come from? And is there anything about that trip that made a difference in your life?
Yeah, actually, I think maybe not directly related to the trip, but because of the trip, I stumbled on something that, I mean, it did change the direction of my life. Because I went searching for something. I didn't know what I was searching for. I think that's the story of my life. Never know what you can find until you find it. Yeah. In London, right before I came back, I bought a copy of Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. I should probably say that's the second most important book in my life, but it actually, honestly, is probably the first. It had the, probably in terms of the biggest impact on my life. And I've read it, I don't know, a dozen times since. And it just kind of set me off on a path of searching for, you know, a faith and a spirituality that made sense to me.
That's a famous book.
I like to think so. I've run into other people, even at PMC, who tell me it had a huge impact on them. So it was a very big deal at the time.
So did that trip have any influence on the fact that you then went to Boston?
No, I had already planned to do that. But it just kind of sent me in a different direction. When I got to Boston, I did a whole number of things, but I was kind of starting to explore, you know, where I might end up. I was reading a lot of Alan Watts, and a lot of Zen Buddhist authors at that point.
And were you going to church or any other religious institutions actually going anywhere at that point?
No. I never attended a church regularly in my life until I moved to Portland.
Let's just finish this education thing. What kind of a degree did you end up with when you were finally kind of finished with your basic education?
I got a Bachelor of Science in Business with a concentration in finance.
And as we say, what came next? Did you start a business right away or?
I did not. I moved to Washington, D.C. next because I met a woman, Michelle, who was my first wife. And she lived in D.C., so I lived in D.C. for several years. I worked for a technology company that was developing some product for the Navy. So I got some practical experience in programming and systems development. And then eventually I moved back to Los Angeles to go to work with my father. When he retired, that led to the beginning of my own business career, which was 35 years ago.
And was he still doing the same kind of work that he had been doing earlier? You said he was, what, selling restaurant equipment, that kind of thing? Was it still that kind of business or had it changed?
No, that's the business he was in when he retired. And I went to work for him. When he closed his business, I opened mine.
Did he ever remarry? What's his quick story?
Dad did remarry a year later. And he was married until his death. He died in 1991, so lost my parents early in life. Yeah.
So you started a business in Los Angeles. Somehow you ended up in Portland, Oregon. Give me the quick version of how you ended up in Portland, and then we'll pick up the faith story.
Sharon and I met in Seal Beach, actually, south of LA, and we got married. We had kids. We had two little boys. And I think we both agreed that We didn't want to raise him in Los Angeles if we had a choice. We lived 10 miles from Disneyland, and it just was not the culture that I was, you know, I knew we could do better. And I had been in love with Portland for years, and we both agreed that would be a great place to raise the kids. And my business was such that I could take it with me. And then a friend of mine suggested that if we were going to Portland to check it out, that I should call an old friend of his who happened to be the pastor of Portland Mennonite. He gave me Rod's number. We came and visited for a weekend, and Rod spent an afternoon with us, showing us around town and introduced us. And the next morning we went to services because we were in town. And, you know, I think I knew 15 minutes in that we had found something that we've been looking for. I speak for myself. I had found something I was looking for.
What year was that?
That was 2003.
So by the end of the weekend, did you know you were going to move to Portland?
We already knew we were going to move to Portland. I had been talking about it for years that I was going to move to Portland. I came up with this five-year plan to move to Portland. After 3 or 4 years, I realized that I was still in year one of my five-year plan. So we sat down and set a date a year from that night that we were going to put the house on the market. And so then I had a deadline. And once there was a deadline, everything came together. And we put the house on the market the day we said we were going to. And then 3 months later, we moved to Lake Oswego.
So the plan was to just continue doing the work that you had been doing, running your business, raising the kids in a better place. How soon after you moved did you find your way back to Portland Mennonite Church?
Well, we arrived in the middle of the summer. And really, as soon as the kids got in preschool in September, I think we started attending regularly. I know the boys were in the Christmas pageant that year, so.
Can you articulate in any way what it was about Portland Mennonite that felt how?
Well, there is a transition that I'd like to put in about my earlier spiritual journey that led me to be open to Portland Mennonite.
Go for it.
I mean, I want to answer that question.
Go back and fill in the missing piece, okay. Please.
Well, there was a period of time when I followed the teachings of Thich Nhat Hanh, who is a Vietnamese Buddhist monk who was exiled from Vietnam and created a village, Plum Village, in France. And I went to a five-day retreat with him when I lived in Los Angeles. And it was at a Jewish summer camp in Malibu. And we were there to listen to a monk from Vietnam. And the irony of the situation and of the crowd was not lost on Thay, the teacher. And in one of his Dharma talks, he looked at all these people who were, you know, almost entirely Jewish or Christian originally. He looked at us and said, "Why are you here? Like, what are you running away from? Whatever it is you're looking for, you're not going to find it here. You need to go back to where you came from. Whatever it is you're running away from, that's where the healing is." So I left that with an understanding that I needed to get back to a Christian church, that that's where I came from, and that's where I needed to be. I kissed a lot of frogs, went to a lot of places that I, you know, didn't feel any connection with. And then I actually went, before we left Los Angeles, Sharon and I were introduced to Pasadena Mennonite. And after a few weekends in Pasadena, we knew we'd found a faith home in terms of the teachings and what was important. So that kind of set us up for when we went to Portland on a visit and ended up attending Portland Mennonite.
So can I go back to my question about what is it about, I don't know how to phrase it, whether it's about quote unquote Mennonites, whether it's about Christians, whether it's specifically about Portland Mennonite. I've talked with you long enough and often enough to know that this is like big stuff for you. Like this community of believers are really important to you.
Yes, absolutely. I didn't know. I mean, I think where I felt the original connection was through Rod's sermon that day, which I felt a thousand times since. The message was markedly different than what I had experienced. I'd say the churches that I had attended sporadically were more in the vein of prosperity gospel approach. But what I always say now is like, what's in it for me? And what I heard Rod say that day that turned me, that made such a difference in my life is, I'm sure he didn't use these words in that sermon, but it was a message that I've heard many times since, which is that the gospel is intended to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. And I've never heard anything expressed that way in terms of there's a responsibility here. There's work to be done. That's what I needed to hear.
And a few years ago, you moved out of Portland to a camp out in the hinterlands of Washington State. And dare I say that one of the benefits, I hate to use that word, but of the pandemic was that suddenly Portland Mennonite was like many other churches. We went online. We went to Facebook Live and Zoom. Was the timing of that something that was good for you?
Yeah, I couldn't have planned better for where to be during the pandemic because I live in essentially the Wenatchee National Forest. It was a huge change for me. Kind of the move to Zoom in general kind of put me back on an even playing field in so many different parts of my life where I had been isolated. But none more important than the community of Portland Mennonite. Just being able to engage weekly has meant everything.
So if you could give a message to the people of Portland Mennonite, it can be a short message or a long one, what would you say?
Give me another direction.
The word that comes to mind is appreciation.
Okay. I just have never experienced the kind of extended community that exists within Portland Mennonite of many generations supporting each other, caring about each other, loving each other, and showing up for each other in ways that I didn't see when I was a kid. I mean, the commitment to service on so many different levels, they've really changed the way I look at life, what I'm doing with my life. And probably as important as anything else is that it allowed me the gift of it, of raising my kids in those values. And, you know, you can't run away from it. It's there.
Well, Daryl, there are so many more things we could talk about, but thank you so much for taking the time to just give us this little glimpse into some of the interesting parts of your story.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And thank you for joining us for this episode of COVID Chronicles. If something you heard raised questions or you discovered a connection, take the opportunity to reach out and continue the conversation. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum. Until next time, stay well and keep the faith.